This morning I'm preaching from the book of Hosea. We're in the Old Testament. And in 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul said the Old Testament things of Israel were written as examples for us Christians for your instruction. And the same directing arrow is in Romans 15, 1 through 4. It says, bear the weaknesses of others beyond pleasing yourself. And it says, do this since Christ did not please himself. And then Paul quoted Psalm 69, that the reproaches of those who reproached God, which would be all of us, fell on Jesus. And Paul said, based on that prophecy, what was written in earlier times was written for your instruction. Well, that's Hosea. And it has a lesson about bearing sins and faults and hurts that you get from someone. And Hosea really gets across this reflection of the love of God. With you, with me, what we're doing is we're reflecting the love of Christ Jesus. And it means you must forgive. You must forgive. And forgive to that higher level. It's love that pursues. It chases people in their sin and their foolishness and the consequences that they go through, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is about a relationship with the body, with our brothers and sisters. And what it is, it's love going the extra mile to show forgiveness that they were not expecting. And maybe you weren't expecting to give it that way. And so Hosea is prophetic, pointing to your life in the Spirit, to forgive as Christ forgives you. To do as Ephesians 4:32 says. It says, be kind to one another. Okay, be kind. And it says, be tender-hearted. All right? Be tender-hearted. It says, forgive each other. Okay, forgive. But then it says this. All of that, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. See, God always makes himself the standard. It's a manifestation of Christ. It's a manifestation of God's love. So your Christian ministry, and you have this, your calling is to manifest Christ's life. And as ministry, God wants you to go after others to do this for them. Now, before we look at this calling in Hosea, let me introduce Hosea. Hosea was a man, he was an Israelite man who lived in the 700s BC. He was a prophet around the same time of the prophets Isaiah and Micah. And Hosea's name means salvation, means to be rescued. Now, usually a rescuer has to go after the one to be rescued. And sometimes it does mean chasing them to save them. Well, God called Hosea to represent God's own self in this chasing way. Now, let me ask you, when it comes to forgiving others, because we all get hurt, we have people that transgress against us, sin, and we get the hurt. When it comes to forgiving them, do you usually think of going after someone who has offended you? I mean, pursuing them, chasing them to forgive them. It's not natural, is it? But this is the way of God. And God is our example. He's your example. Hosea is God's man with the object lesson of pursuing a sinner for salvation, for rescue, and then being rejected and hurt and abandoned by that same person in ungratefulness, and then chasing that same person to forgive them, all as God's will. This is the way our relationship is supposed to be with the body of Christ. Now, back in Hosea's day, there were two earthly kingdoms of God's people. There was a northern and there was a southern. Jeroboam II ruled the northern kingdom of Israel. Four kings reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel was immersed in sin and apostasy at this time. Those days were like dark ages for Israel. Darkness was literally in their hearts, like a black hole. I mean, just sucked the life out of everything in the nation. And idolatry was the worst sin. They were zealously into worshiping false gods. Jeroboam I made a golden calf. He actually made many golden calves about 150 years earlier. And so for about four generations, idolatry was imprinted into the soul of Israel, God's people. And it brought with it all kinds of perversion. Things like visiting prostitutes as a form of worship, even the practice of human sacrifice. It is a dark hole. But at the covenant level, and we need to be thinking about ourselves with God in the new covenant in Christ, and we need to think about our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, at the covenant level, God still recognized Israel's relationship to him as being beautiful and wonderful and actually like being his wife. Israel's worship of false gods was like adultery to him. But Israel remained as God's covenant wife in God's steadfast love. That's a big lesson. And so instead of instantly raining judgment on them, which he could have done, God warned them and he chastised them. And he did this while chasing them. And he chased them for the purpose of forgiving them and saving them. And to do this, God sent the prophet Amos earlier to warn about their ways and tell them they needed to turn back to God in his ways. If not, there's a severe chastising that's going to come. And Hebrews 12 explains that God chastises the people that he loves. He doesn't chastise you, he doesn't love you. But Israel ignored the prophet Amos. And this did not change the fact that God was chasing them. So God sent the prophet Hosea. God had Hosea do an incredible thing. Incredible for any man to do, even a prophet. Listen, this is amazing. God wanted Hosea to lead his life like a living illustration of what God went through with Israel. And to do this, God had the prophet Hosea actually go out, find a woman, marry a woman who was a known harlot. And her name was Gomer. And God used her relentless, persistent, habitual unfaithfulness to Hosea to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness toward God. God wanted Hosea's harlot wife to bear two sons and a daughter. And God had Hosea prophetically name each of the children to illustrate specific messages of judgment on the people of Israel. God and Hosea both knew that when Hosea married, they knew that his harlot wife was going to be unfaithful. Already knew it. They both knew that she was a woman who would habitually and ambitiously go off to be sexually promiscuous and sin with many men. It was her way. And her way was the way of Israel. So Hosea and his whole future family were chosen to be one big prophetic illustration of how God was dealing with his covenant people who had become spiritual harlots. It was their way. And in it, their way reflects a way, listen to me, residing in all of us. You, me, everyone. It's the sin nature. And when you sin, you can't say it was somebody else's way. No, you're the one that sinned. It was your way. And Hosea's marriage demonstrates how God chased you to forgive you. And it demonstrates how God wants to chase others to forgive them. Now, in laying all this out, you need to know that though Hosea was told to do this by marrying such a ridiculous woman, and though he knew how she was and what to expect the whole time, Hosea loved her deeply. God was part of doing this. But this is something that you must recognize when we learn about this. Hosea was doing more than just following God's instructions. He was experiencing what God experienced with Israel. What God experiences with you. And a lot of people don't get this. But God is very passionate. He is. And what God experiences with you. To know how deeply Hosea loved Gomer, the scriptures actually tell us Hosea loved Gomer as the Lord loved Israel. Well, the way the Lord loves is truly the most amazing and intense love there is. It's more than emotion, of course. But it's every dimension of love that you can possibly imagine. And so this is the outlay. Now prepare your heart for this sermon, chasing others to forgive them. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you bless us to take this in, learn from your word, use what we learn, change our lives with this, and so that we would pursue the body the way you have shown us to pursue, the chase of forgiveness and true Christian love. Amen. Now as I get into this, I want to start with the problem part of human nature. It's the thing that requires doing something like chasing others to forgive them in the first place. It's the propensity and expectation of people to sin. And this disturbing attribute of all humans is haunting us. It lingers there in our hearts and it comes out in everyone. It comes out of you too. It just comes out in different ways at different times. And back then, all the Israelites, though they were in covenant with God, manifested this propensity, this expectation in its most extreme forms. Gomer, a famous local prostitute, was not famous because she was so different. She was actually the mirror image of all the rest of the messed up people. She was a typical Israelite of the day. She eagerly shared in all the sins of that generation. She truly represented the nation in many, many, many ways. When it came to her sin, she was more than a mistake maker. Follow what I'm saying. She was more than a mistake maker. Sexual sin and unfaithfulness to her marriage was her ambition. She liked that. She wanted that. She looked for it. Being untrustworthy, that was her way. And so being chosen to be a picture of sin incarnate, God named her first baby, called him Jezreel, after the place of King Jeroboam's great-grandfather, Jehu, came to the throne through evil ambition and crime and bloodshed and violence and sin. By Hosea's time, Jehu's corruption, his corrupting of Israel, had led them down this road, and they became very materialistic, very self-oriented. They were hedonistic, loving pleasure above everything else. But they were riddled with the infection of soul-permeating evil and sin, and the whole kingdom's destruction was about to come by the hand of God in the Valley of Jezreel, the same name God gave Gomer's first son. The infection which brought their destruction was not some weird corona flu virus-like disease. It was the same common problem you have. And this is the big thing about God's pointer in all of this. When he teaches, he shows us ourselves as well as full picture in our relationship with him. And what we see is the sin that's in all humanity. And the sin, this is the point, demands God's justice. That sin is what puts you in desperate need of God's forgiveness too. See? And so some of the sins of Israel of the time are listed in Hosea 4. When you think of those sins, think of Hosea's wife. Think of sin in general. God described the Israelites as being unfaithful. All sin is unfaithfulness. When you sin, you can't say that you're being faithful to the Spirit's direction to not sin. It's unfaithfulness. And Israel's unfaithfulness was mainly their faith in the false gods rather than the one true God. This was Gomer to the core, Hosea's wife. Hosea had to deal with this, but continued to love her as the Lord loved the children of Israel. When it comes to dealing with people who are unfaithful with you, your brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not easy. Hurt wants you to not forgive. That's what hurt does. I mean, this is the far-reaching work of the sin problem. It's part of it. But Hosea is going to show that the hurt is part of what needs to be forgiven. And Hosea describes Israel as being unkind. Did you know that God equates unkindness with sin? It's in Hosea. The sin of unkindness acts like it doesn't care if others are hurting, doesn't care if they're in need, treats others without respect. Jesus explained that the greatest commandment in Mosaic covenant law was to love others as one's own self. Well, Israel's sin was loving their own selves with self-kindness while being unkind to others. And Gomer treated her own husband, Hosea, that way. But Hosea cared for her. He loved her. He continuously forgave her. He loved her as the Lord loves, the scripture says, the sons of Israel, which means also the daughters. Hosea was her rescuer. He found her in her dead-end life of sin, went out and found her, chose to be kind to her beyond what she deserved, married her, provided for her, had children with her. She's married to a godly man under God's blessing. But she did not appreciate Hosea, and she was unkind to him. Very hard to forgive someone who's unkind to you. But this is our lesson. Hosea says Israel also practiced swearing, translated cursing. They continually transgressed the third commandment in the Mosaic law. And they lied about everything. Generally deceptive. Their hearts were so evil that truth was just a mere option. Ninth commandment. It's the ninth commandment in the Mosaic law. It was only a kind of a suggestion to them not to bear false witness. We would call it pathological lying, the way the prophet describes her. Gomer's way was to be deceptive with Hosea. Deception and lying, false witness, it's all sin. Very difficult to forgive, but forgiving people for lying to us, lying to you, deceiving you, is your lesson. The people were also violent. Murder was in epidemic proportions. Hosea describes it as continuous killing upon killing upon killing upon killing, in murdering one another in Israel at the time. They broke the sixth commandment in a complete lack of love. And adultery was a widespread problem in Israel. Yeah, Hosea's wife practiced it, but Hosea described Israel as being addicted to committing physical adultery with one another. Breaking the 10th commandment was just another fun thing to do. And the women were not only involved with adultery, but sexual immorality and perversion of every kind was normal in Israel. Many of the Israelite women were harlots, like Gomer. Hosea condemned the men for approving of it by their willing participation. No willing participation, there's no harlotry. And so the people, you looked at them, they looked just like the godless pagans of the surrounding cultures. They were adulterers and sin against God. And in their spiritual adultery, all over the land and out in the open, orgies took place as worship of Baal and Astarte. Hosea's wife Gomer eagerly took part in such things. She's part of the culture. She's the picture of it. 2 Kings 17 explains the gruesome extent of the human sacrifices they perform. Horrible. They left God. They lived the transgressions of the first and second commandment of going after fake gods. First commandment in the Mosaic law said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods. Hosea pictured this by finding Gomer, bringing her out of that world, taking her into his life and home, marrying her in pure grace, bringing her into a godly household, loving her as the Lord loved Israel. But she wanted Egypt. And the second commandment, you shall not make images to bow down before them to serve, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. God is the great husband, and he rescues his people and blesses his people in love. He is jealous of his people. I mean, and he has every right to be. It is sin to consider an image of what God created as to be something that's like him. It's like saying, you're a nobody to the only real God, the creator of everything. It's rejecting the love of the one who made you, the one who also rescues you. Hosea says they were regularly stealing, practice of breaking the eighth commandment. If they wanted something, just take it. Hosea said the prophets and the priests were corrupt. There was rampant drunkenness. It goes on and on and on. And it's all the problem of humanity. Sin is the propensity and the expectation of fallen people. It's unlovely, but it's what requires the unnatural, radical love way of doing something like chasing others to forgive them. And here's the thing. You are this unloveliness, and so am I, by ourselves in ourselves. And understanding this, though Hosea was a prophet, and though he feared the Lord, Hosea also had the root problem in his own heart. I mean, he's like you, he's like me, like everyone since Adam and Eve. All have the unlovely part of human nature which needs the love of being chased down in forgiveness. Hosea, like you, existed with the propensity and expectation of sin. All have sin in them, all do sin, all fall short of the glory of God. And so the problem is sin. And with the problem comes more problems. Sin has consequences. It may seem like living in sin is inconsequential, but sin first harms the sinner. To be identified by sin without atonement brings condemnation by God and being under his judgment. And the sinned acts for anyone carry some kind of physical consequence. You may not immediately see it, but it comes. I mean, sin offends other people. Sins of others will offend you. Gomer just wanted to go off and do her own thing. She was full of sinful activity. Her whole mind was driven by sin. She did not show love for God or her husband. She offended both of them as her way of life, like she was ignorant of how horrible her ways were. Scriptures indicate in 4:1 that Israel had no knowledge of God. And God said their lack of knowledge condemned them. And then there's another consequence. God said in 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, Israel, from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Wow. There are consequences. And Hosea says, there was sadness everywhere among the people in the land. The people had all these pleasures. They were doing all this stuff, but they were unhappy. And it's a consequence of sin. Gomer had pleasures, but she was unhappy, unsatisfied. Hosea said that they languished in poverty. So they had some things. They eked out a living, but they languished in poverty as a consequence of sin. They did not have God's blessing. And Hosea says that even wildlife and farm animals were scarce. because of the consequence of sin. God punished them for their ways, which is a consequence of sin. And Gomer, Hosea's harlot wife, she had a second child, Lo Ruhamah. And that name means to have no pity. To have no pity, reflecting God's judgment on Israel. God told them, the judgment's going to come. And it did. And sin has consequences. Israel was invaded by one of the cruelest nations of people in history, Assyria. Assyrians were merciless conquerors. One of the first things they did was throw the children off the walls. They impaled survivors on spikes. They raped all the women, all of them. They drove hooks through the jaws of the survivors that they took as slaves. This was the way Assyrians dealt with people after they conquered them. And this happened to Israel, God's wife, because she chose to go their route. Israel had been in God's favored protection, and so now they're experiencing the consequences of their own sin of turning against him, their husband. And then Gomer conceived again. She had a boy. God named him Lo Ami, and the name means not my people. And the name prophetically showed Israel's cutoff from God, and it also exposed the sinful pursuits of Hosea's wife Gomer. You see, Lo Ami was not a child that came from her godly husband Hosea. Gomer had begotten a son from her harlotry. Israel begot children in spiritual harlotry for many generations by going after idols. And it resulted in being cut off from God. There are consequences. And God said in chapter 2 that because of Israel's harlotry and adultery, God was going to strip her naked and make her like a wilderness and slay her with hunger and with thirst. He will not have compassion on her children because they are children of harlotry. And God did this because sin has consequences. But that's not the end of it. And it's not the bigger lesson. The bigger lesson is that these things were written for your instruction to bear the weaknesses of those without strength beyond pleasing yourself, pleasing your neighbor for their good, to build your neighbor up, since even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach God, which is all humans, fell on Jesus. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And so that big lesson is the chase. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the sermon on. Chasing others to forgive them. It's what God did with you. And think about that. You know yourself. I know myself. He chased us down. And it's what you are called to do. God sought out Israel through the prophets to call them to repent. God chased Israel. Hosea chased Gomer. Chapter 2 explains that Israel said, I will go after my lovers who give me my material stuff. All this junk that I think is so worthy. I will go after my lovers who give me bread and my water and my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. So God said, I'm going to block Israel, Israel, his wife. He's going to block her way to those people. He blocked. He chased her. God said he's going to pursue her. And he said, she will pursue her lovers, but he won't let her be successful. She will seek them, but he will not let her find them. And because of God's chase, he says she will go back to her husband. God said he will allure her and speak kindly to her and bless her, and she will sing as in the days of her youth. She's experiencing all the consequences of sin, but now she's experiencing the chase. See? And this is what God is wanting from us, and it's a big deal. He says he will betroth her to himself in righteousness and justice and loving compassion, loving kindness, and in faithfulness. And he will say, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God, because he chased after them. And in chapter 3, we read that Gomer abandoned her husband Hosea completely, took off. God told Hosea, go chase after her to forgive her. He said, go love Gomer, who is loved by you, her husband, yet she is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods. Quote from God. Wow. Hosea felt the sting of being abandoned by the one he loved. And we all get that sometimes, even from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And his heart ached. But the consequences for sin are also something that trapped Gomer. In her escapades, she ended up being sold into slavery. Sin has consequences. But the godly chase of forgiveness was on. Hosea set out. He spent his own money in grace and his love, and he purchased Gomer as more than a slave, but as his wife and a loving rescue of forgiveness, something she did not deserve. And that's what forgiveness is all about, grace, because you don't deserve it. This is what God's bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. And Hosea brings her back home. Hosea told her, don't be a harlot anymore. In fact, we're not even going to have relationships with each other for a time. That's what he told her. And what he was doing, this is still, he's living a prophetic life. It demonstrated what happened to Israel. Israel had to remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or idol. And then after that, they willingly returned to a right relationship with God. Willingly, lovingly, eagerly, honorably. Revival occurred in the land. Revival occurred in Gomer too. Why? Was it because they randomly decided just to, you know, chase after God? No, it's because God chased after them. It's because Hosea chased after Gomer. When you chase after somebody in forgiveness, it's miraculous what happens. It's miraculous. The Holy Spirit is permeating the whole move because it's what God does. It's not what people do. So they're chased and they're what? Forgiven in love. And in all of this, understand that Hosea is like you when it comes to being hurt by the sinful ways. Someone you love. He felt, this prophet felt the pain of rejection, of loss, of even seeing a loved one destroy herself, just fall apart, sold into slavery. He went through everything God did with the hurting harlotry of his wife. So Gomer runs off with her partners because they promised her all these things. They're going to lavish material things on her. Hosea tried to stop her, but she continued to seek other companions in sin. Basically, you just think about this and you need to keep reminding yourself, she was hurting him. She hurt him deeply. Because God made sure that he loved her like he loves Israel. And see, when God puts the love of Christ in your heart, you have it. It's just a matter of manifesting it, but it's there. And Hosea did what God wants you and me to do. So this is the take-home point. God wants you to choose others and then chase after them for forgiveness, even as the Lord does this with his love for you. Okay? That's the take home. All right?